So the question was asked, is one supposed to treat children like adults? And how much is one supposed to take time to spend with one's children? Shouldn't one be a role model for one's children? So of course one is supposed to be a role model for one's children. But at the same time, children have to be children. The Gemara tells us that one of the Amoraim would buy his children old pottery vessels so he could give them to bash, to break. He said, at a young age, children have to be children. Part of what they have to do is break vessels. I can't let them play around with the house pottery. I'm not going to buy them expensive vessels, but I will give them toys to play with. So in their times, it was cheap pottery vessels which they could break, because children have to play and explore and break, and we can't get upset at them for everything they break, so we have to give them, make available to them things to play with. As far as spending time with children, so it is very important to spend time with children. There is a division of tasks between a father and a mother. The mother usually spends most of the time with the children, but the father also has to take time with the children. Children need a father and they need a mother. And there are different things that the father gives than the mother gives, but they also need a father. I saw one of the great rabbis of America going with his children to a secluded area where people wouldn't see him and play ball with them. The children needed to play ball. They were on their summer break, so they had the times that he took them out to trips and the times that he played handball with them. Now, if he did it in front of his community, they wouldn't understand, oh, the rabbi took off his jacket and he's playing ball with the kids. It's not something that the community has to see, but the kids have to see it. I've often told you guys the story about Rav Chaim from Brisk, that when he'd come home Friday night, would close the door behind him, get on all fours, and the children would grab the edge of his frock, of his long black coat, and they'd ride around the house and go giddy up, and he'd crawl on all fours. And you're welcome to come have some children, Micha. And this is Rav Chaim from Brisk. Everyone's learning his Torah, but the children need to have their own Shabbos. That's what he said. He said, this is their joy of Shabbos, so this is what I do for them. We find that the Gemara tells us, in honor of Shabbos, in honor of the holidays, we're supposed to buy egozim ukleyot to give out to the children. The Western world used to have the philosophy you describe. The Western world used to view childhood, the period of being children, as a disease. Meaning a child was an adult that has this disease that he doesn't yet understand how to behave. But in Judaism, we never viewed it this way. The Western world, only in the end of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century, started viewing children differently. But we in Judaism never viewed children this way. We always viewed them as a gift that God gives us, as something we cherish and we enjoy and we play with. The Gemara told us the balance. The Gemara said was, with children, the left hand, the weaker hand, pushes them away, because the right hand always draws them near. How does that work? You use your stronger hand to draw them near, and because you enjoy them so much, so we're worried that you might end up spending too much time with them and spending all your time with them and wasting your days with them. So you have to have the left hand that says, enough, enough, I still have other things I have to do with my day. But we see Yamin, the more dominant hand, is Mekarevet, is bringing them near. Chazal say that when a person is sitting in mourning, we do not bring children. Why? Because everyone knows, Chazal say, that when you're with children, you have a good time, you enjoy the children, you play with them. You play with children, so that's not being in mourning. When a person's in mourning, he has to focus on his mourning. So he has the 7-day period where he's mourning. So we don't give him children, because he won't be able to do what he has to do, to be in mourning. Because when he's with children, he's going to be playing and he's going to be light-headed, the way people are with children. So we see indications from Chazal all over that the approach to children was a more loving and even a playful approach. When the Gemara discusses what's the concept of psik reishe in Hilchos Shabbos, you want your child, you want your child to be entertained. So in those days they knew which were the kosher grasshoppers, so they give a child a kosher grasshopper to play with, knowing full well he's going to bite off its head. on Shabbos and the grasshopper is going to die. You see, the Gemara gives you an example from real life. You're bringing your child a toy. So in those days, the toy was a grasshopper.
Chicken head.
You have the Gemara that says if you hear the children talking about Mr. Magoo that died, you can't go and testify to his wife that Mr. Magoo died. Why? Because maybe they had an aunt that they named Mr. Magoo. The Gemara is talking about how children play. It was very obvious to the Gemara that children play. And the Gemara even speaks about how they play, because it has halachic relevance. Your five-year-old son is talking to his friend and says, oh boy, it was terrible. Chaim Finkelstein died, and we saw him there writhing in pain on the ground. So the Gemara says, that's not good as testimony. Maybe Chaim Finkelstein is what they named the aunt. So the Gemara knows that they're naming their aunts and they're playing with aunts. And So we see in many places in the Gemara that the Gemara assumed that children would play and that's what they have to do. And the fact that we take certain times to play with them, certain things, doesn't contradict that we're their role model. We find quite the contrary. One of the things we see in the Agadah is we have the four sons, Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Sheino Yodea Lishol. What's a Sheino Yodea Lishol? That's a child that doesn't yet understand about the Agadah. So he's not going to ask you questions. So what do? You start telling him. You tell him on his level. You don't expect him to understand on a higher level. Sometimes my son asks me very deep questions. And sometimes I'm not sure on what level to answer him. So I devised a good formula. What I'll sometimes ask him is, what do you think? Then he gives me direction where he's thinking. Then I could work with it. I know tomorrow morning he's coming to me with a question. My wife already told me as I was leaving the house tonight. He asked the question as he was being put to sleep. Why did God create Haman? Why did he create wicked people? So now what answer am I going to give a four-year-old boy? I don't know yet. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask him, well, what do you think? I have to see where he's coming from, what he's thinking. Yes, we have to be role models. Yes, if they see us doing mitzvos and they see us loving the mitzvos and learning Torah and loving the Torah, then that's the most important message. They see us much better than we see ourselves. They see where we're really holding. And they get the message in true terms. They see it. But that doesn't contradict that with them, we have to treat them according to their level. So if I want to make Yom Tov special to them, so I bring them the candies that they like. I don't tell them, it's Yom Tov, great, you're going to eat matzah, it's a big mitzvah. If I could get them to like the matzah, good. If I can't get them to like the matzah, maybe I'll put peanut butter on the matzah. Maybe I'll put jam on the matzah. Maybe I'll bring them something else in honor of Yom Tov. In honor of Yom Tov, I'm supposed to make something that'll make them happy. The Halacha expects us to talk to them on their level. I want to conclude with a story. Two stories. One story they say, I don't know if it's true, that there was a young genius in Europe at age 70, had already mastered tremendous areas of Talmud and Halacha, and they once saw him playing. So the people asked him, you know, we ask you our questions, how come you're playing? So he said, Talmud I may know and Halacha I may know, but I still have to be a normal child, otherwise I won't be a normal adult. At my age, I also have to play. And another story that I heard from someone who heard it from the person himself, I heard this from my father-in-law who heard it from him. There was a big, big genius in America. He was a big, big rabbi. And later in his life, he had all kinds of social issues. He was fidgety. So he once said, in passing, he said, the reason I'm this way is because I didn't have a normal childhood. At age 9, I was already mastering the Talmud. At age 13, I was already mastering Halacha. By 20, I was a big rabbi. I was never able to do what I had to do. I couldn't get it out of my system. So now, I'm at 55, and I still don't have it out of my system. I never rebelled. I never played the games other children played. I never played enough sports. And by the way, for those of you that are considering the Haredi community, this is something that really needs to be balanced in this country. In America, the Haredi community accepts that a child will play ball. Yeshivas have basketball courts in the yeshiva. It's known in the summer, guys play ball. It's not a contradiction to being Haredi or religious or anything. And the same thing for girls. In Israel, the Haredi community, for some reason, took this to an extreme, an extreme that's problematic, that it's not socially acceptable for a child beyond bar mitzvah to play ball and do things like that, and that's a problem. Children need to have an outlet, and there's a problem that it doesn't exist right now. So those of you who are considering the Haredi community have to know that in the long run this is something to consider, because it's an issue to contend with within the Haredi community. When you'll have older children, hopefully by then things will balance out. But right now, things standing as they are, the Haredi community frowns upon someone who plays ball. It's like, why aren't you learning every minute? Well, I'm 13, I'm not yet holding where I could learn every minute. I have other things to do. So each person will have to devise how to balance that. But going back to the question, children cannot be treated as adults. There are respects of, I have to respect the child, I have to respect his wishes, I have to treat him with dignity. In that respect, just because he's a child doesn't mean I trample all over him. He has certain rights. But a home is not a democracy. I owe it to my child that in a home things will be clear, that I have a clear expectations of him, and there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, and I have to define that for him. I have to listen to what he says. I have to be caring for what he says, and I have to be right most of the time and be fair with him when I don't know, admit that I don't know. But at the same time, it's not a democracy. I care for his rights, I care for what he needs, but I also know better than him. He's 4 years old, he's 6 years old, he's 10 years old. My job as a parent is to know better than him. I will not treat him as an adult because he's not ready to be treated as an adult. I can't tell him to do what adults do. It's not right for him. At the same time, there are certain rights that he has like an adult, which it's only fair. Dignity, not to shame him in front of other people, not to make fun of him, to take his opinion into account. Doesn't mean it's a democracy. He's not going to outweigh my opinion. If three kids say one thing and my wife and I say another thing, they don't win. Doesn't work that way. It's not a democracy. But we definitely will take their opinion into account because we care for them. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.